some of you seem like you're pretty seasoned saints of God, and some of you are ministers of God. I'm going to have you come up too. Lori's going to help me. And we're just going to follow the flow of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, go ahead, and we're going to play some soft music because sometimes that helps people just stay in, okay? It's not, it just helps you stay in. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to listen to God. And we have seen one word of knowledge heal many, okay? And we've also seen a person say, oh, I don't think that's for me. We actually had a case where God gave a very specific word of knowledge about the arch of someone's foot. I think it was a left foot. It was so specific. But the person said, gee, I don't think that's for me, but it sounds like me. But they didn't receive it because they didn't know how. And a few days later, they were talking to a friend, and the friend said, that's for you. You can receive that. And they said, I receive it, and their foot got healed 2 days later. So if we say something, and even if it, listen, you know, if you say, well, I don't know, you know, because people always come to me, was that for me? You know, listen, if you're in the room, take it. And all you have to do is say, I believe it and I receive it. That's all you have to do. And so, where'd Lori go? Oh, you're behind me. Yeah, and you have a mic, and your mic is working. Okay. Yeah, turn it on. So we're just going to listen, and we're going to... We operate in different gifts of the Spirit, so that's kind of fun. And Lori's fun because she sees. She's a true seer. I see in my mind's eye, but she sees. Hallelujah. And so we're just going to listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. I see someone. Actually, I saw this earlier. I'm seeing someone hit someone's hip joints. You've had an issue with your hip joints for some years that has caused you some problem. And I saw the Lord realigning and setting in place and touching the ball joint and healing that in the name of Jesus. Keeps disappearing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Do we have a hand mic? Yeah. You want mine? Glory to God. Well, we might as well do a couple of more. I saw a shoulder that's been, I'm not sure if this is the rotator cuff or if something's just out, but when you sleep at night, it hurts. When you get up, it hurts. It's an off and on thing, but I see, I saw like a little ball of fire go into your shoulder and heal the shoulder. And if that's you, just start moving your arm and receive it. If you feel heat in your body, some people will feel the heat, some people won't. You know, I've been healed where I didn't feel a thing. I've been healed where I got a great heat. But I saw that some people will feel a heat in your body as you're being healed. I saw heat go down someone's spine like that. Hareka. Hareke hishikonda hesibatako. Ho rababasa. Someone has, I don't know what this means, your feet are turned inward. I don't know what this means. It's like your feet, yeah, your feet are turned inward a bit. And sometimes it has caused lower back issues. And you may know that or not know that, but the fact that your feet have not been aligned are causing misalignment in your lower back. And I saw the Lord straighten the whole thing. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking alignment from head to toe. Someone's right eye, you have issues with some of your vision, but particularly the right eye. I'm not sure if this is about cataracts or glaucoma or what this is about, but I saw the Lord healing from the inside out. Hallelujah. So I'm just looking at you, so... Keep going. All right. Hallelujah. There's someone that has headaches. And these headaches come and go. But I believe it's caused by a neck injury. God's showing me a neck injury, and it's about here in the neck. I don't know much about, you know, discs, but it's about maybe this far down. And I don't know if you took some trauma or if there was an accident or what, but there's a little bit of a neck injury and it has caused an issue with your head. So right now I break the effects of trauma off your neck, and we speak perfect alignment and, thank you, reconstruction to the disc, and we command that those headaches go and never return. Haruka enda basikia, shondema prandisitosi, kalenda karodoshikia, sombre didisititi shiki. There's a runner in here. You love to run. But you sustained a knee injury. And it's been upsetting because you haven't been able to run like you used to. And it's kind of off and on, but it's been long enough that you're starting to wonder if you'll ever really be able to run like you used to run. And I saw the Lord, it's funny, I actually saw his hand smack the side of your knee. And he says, you're going to run again. You're going to run like the wind. And you're one of those people that loves to run. I hope that's catching. Hallelujah. Renda shoko masinde babisitora. Hola baba satan. There's someone in here and you just said, all I want, listen, this is all great, Lord, but all I want is to be closer to you. All I want is you, hallelujah, Jesus. And I saw a picture of you and you were laying on your back at home. You're at home. And this is funny. You'll know who you are by this. You have this spot that's between the bed and the wall. It's that spot that you have to walk back in to make the bed, and you go back in there when nobody's looking and you lay in that spot. That's how you'll know that I'm talking to you. And you tend to lay in that spot and soak out. And I saw the hand of God come down upon you when you're in that position. You are going to get closer to God. God is delighted with your heart. It's music to his ears when you talk like that, when you say things like, all I want to do, all I want is you. Oh, you're all I care about, Jesus. It's like he says, you make my day. That makes my day. It's like music to my ears. Hallelujah. Kora basiki to you. She's holding out, I can tell. Kora
basata to shoko ko. See, one of the things about being a seer is you like to watch.
Yeah, she can actually, this is real bizarre, but she can actually see words. What is it? It looks like light, right?
Yeah.
And she can see, she can tell if they went in or not. So she said, you know, that's so-and-so. You know that was for so-and-so. Yeah, I know that was for so-and-so. You know, they didn't receive that. I know they didn't receive it. But she saw it. I felt it. And sometimes they bounce off, you know. Don't let them bounce off. Korabahaladendo. Okay, this is about the throat. Satan has tried to steal from you. Your voice contains power, this one person. Your voice, you know, it's like your voice is called of God. Your voice is called of God. And Satan has tried to steal some things from you regarding your voice, and it is an assignment, hallelujah, against you in the realm of the spirit to put a stop to the thing God has called you to do. I come against that assignment. I break it. I take authority over it. I render it null, void, powerless, and completely ineffective. And we command, Father, that that voice be not only restored, but seven times.
He's also healing your lungs. I command all inflammation to go, and I break that attack off your body in the name of Jesus. Come out, go, and never return. Hallelujah.
Someone that's been walking out of your past. Your past was very painful, and it caused you to accept some things from the enemy. Okay, it was very, very painful, and you've always felt like no one understands. No one understands. I've tried telling everybody, but no one really understands. And I saw a shackle, and it was like an extra weight to carry, and it's been hard for you because you felt alone in the thing. But I saw Jesus come alongside you, and he took you by the hand, and he said, come with me, and he was smiling. And he took you into a room, and he began to gently disentangle all the hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He began to disentangle the years of stuff. I saw him take off some of the shackles. I saw him wash some of the memories. And I saw your eyes. They were so sad. You have great sadness because some things happened that in your family that ought not to have happened. And it's a great sorrow that you've carried. And that sorrow has been sometimes overwhelming. You haven't even been able to express it to people. But I saw almost like a drain open. And I saw this sorrow begin to drain out of your heart and out of your soul. And as you sat with Jesus, just as you sat with him, I saw the sorrow as it drained out. I saw his healing drain in. I saw it flow in, and I could actually see it coating the insides of your soul and healing every wound and every part of your heart. And he says, I know that you've suffered great sorrow. And he said, I was there, and I know how much that hurt. And I know what they did, and I know what they said, and I know what went on. And I also saw when people wouldn't listen and disregarded and discounted what you said and did not honor you and did not respect you. But he said, you're my own, my very own. I have loved you. I have always loved you. You are so precious to me. And he said, I am healing you. I want you to know there are some things that are changing in your life, and I won't quit until we're done. And what I saw was a picture of you sitting with him, just sitting. And I feel like he's saying, day in and day out, just sit with him. Don't try to fix it. Just sit with him and he'll fix it. Because he has your destiny in mind. He has your healing in his hands. And he's not going to quit. He's never going to be like people have been to you. He's never going to treat you like people have treated you. He's never going to disrespect your history. I have to say it again. He's never going to disrespect what you went through or treat you like it wasn't something to be reckoned with. He knows. Korabashikia. I saw someone, now this is a little odd, it looks like a neck brace in the spirit, but it's actually a shackle that the enemy tried to put on to keep you in your place. Sometimes the enemy whispers a lie, it's a false belief system, to get you to stay in your place. It can sound like a number of things. You're not worthy. Oh, God is mad at you. You'll never be able. You don't have the anointing. It can be anything like that. In this case, I feel like it came through guilt and condemnation. I feel like it came through a doorway of guilt. You've taken on a guilt, and God says, that is not from me. That is not from me. And tonight, he says, I'm breaking guilt off your soul. You've carried a burden, he says, that belongs on the cross, under the blood. And I saw him take and unlock that shackle. He gently peeled it away from your neck, and he put it upon the cross underneath the blood, and it turned to nothing, 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 nothing under the blood. I speak wholeness to you. I speak to you that you'll be able to receive God's love for the first time in your life. You know about it in your head, but this weekend, I'm telling you, this weekend, you will be able to receive his love for you. I'm going to have you all say this. I accept his love for me.
I accept his love for me.
I believe his love for me.
I believe his love for me.
I'll receive it. It's precious to me. Hallelujah.
Some words I'm whispering to people.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, hallelujah. Undera moshokia.
So, okay.
Renda sofridi sotis. Sundoramatore babashikia kosoko. I'm changing things, he says. I'm changing some things in your behalf. Some of you have walked in certain levels of anointing, and it's good. And I'm pleased. You've done some things that are good, and I'm pleased. But because you've done it faithfully, I'm raising you up to the next step. I see promotions in the room for those that have been faithful and true. When we're faithful in the little, he gives us rulership over much. And I see open doors to the next level. And here's what I want to say to you. That was from him. This part's from Holly, just me. But what I've seen is that the levels continue. If we continue to be faithful, we will continue to keep on growing. And he has said he's infinite. So if we don't quit, if we don't lose heart or just become contented at where we're at and we keep pressing into him, he continues to grow us as we're faithful. And so I'm seeing promotion. I'm seeing level changes. I'm seeing increase, not just a step up, but I'm seeing a breadth. It's going to sound strange, but who this is for, you'll know this. It's a breadth of vision. Your vision, let's say, was this big, and I saw it go like an expanse of the breadth of your vision. And it's from God. And I saw you laying in bed. And this is interesting. It wasn't a dream. It was a waking vision. You were laying in bed, but you were awake. And you saw something. And you wondered, is that God? And God's saying, yes, that was me. That was me. Because I'm increasing you. I'm increasing the work of your hands. And because of that, I'm increasing your vision. And by the way, he says, I'm removing some of the limitations. And he says, one of the things I've always liked about you, this person I'm talking to, I've always liked about you that you never made much of yourself. You never made a big deal out of yourself. You never were showy or show-offy. But because of that, I'm entrusting you with more. I'm entrusting you with my life. He says, I'm entrusting you with my people. I'm entrusting you with a broader range of vision because you've been faithful and true, and you're true-hearted. You're true-hearted. You're true-hearted. And you've always been willing. This is a rare quality in the body. You've always been willing to take the lower place. You've always been willing to step back and give somebody else the honor. You've always been willing to do that. And because of that, I saw a spotlight come on you. And the Lord said, look at this one. You see? Because he who makes themselves least, you know, he gets to be brought forth, right, at the wedding. Well, it's the same thing here. The Bible says, in honor, giving preference one to another. And this person I'm talking to, you've always been careful to do that, and God is pleased. And you've done it for years. It's not just a year. You've done this for years. You've always given somebody else the spotlight, always stepped back and given somebody else the honor. The Lord says, because of it, I'm bringing you forth. I'm going to put a spotlight on you, and I'm going to, don't worry, I will give you exactly what to say. You will know exactly what to say. And by the way, he says, you know more than you think you know. You know more than you think you know. And what you know will help many, because there's many who don't know. Hallelujah. And because they don't know, you'll help them. And I see you feeding little birds. I see you feeding these little birds. This is for you, sister. You're feeding these sweet little birds that are hungry, and they are so clueless. They don't have a clue what to do or where to go. But and you've not made much of yourself. You've not made over yourself or made a big deal out of your stuff. Both of you have humble, wonderful hearts, and you haven't acted like you're, you know, anything special. But God says, I've placed you in a position, and I've raised you up, and I've put something in you. I've put a thing in you that my people need. And I saw you going along, and you know what? The people you were ministering to were like these little tiny birds, and their mouths were open like this. But you knew that they couldn't take too much at a time, you know, like too much meat and they would choke. You knew exactly what little bite to give each one. And you were going along just giving each one exactly what they needed, and then going back and giving them exactly what they needed. And God says, I'm raising you up to do a greater work. It's a greater work. It's a greater work. And God, listen, he says, I will fund it. He means financially, he's going to fund it. Because this thing that he's doing, it was birthed in heaven. Are. Ha'arosa. Endorobobo shikieker. Oh, Rabba, I'm just going to turn that down just a tweens because it's pulling me out. I love music, and music can just, woo, can just go right out there. Yeah, really. Rabba, is that the same name? Just, I don't know, I'm going to trust it. Hallelujah. So Rababa Sikikishi. Again, I hear him say, I'm doing a new thing. And I saw people from the body of Christ. And a lot of them were facing one way or another, and they were looking at issues in their own life. Right? Because that's what we do. But I heard this call from heaven saying, I'm doing a new thing. And only certain people went, what, Lord? Certain people attuned to him. They began to turn their faces to heaven to say, what is it, Lord? What is the new thing? And I saw him begin to take those that were hungry and thirsty, those that were tuning in to his voice and not the voice of man or the voice of their circumstances. Some of us have circumstances that are screaming at us. And we get caught up in this thing that C.S. Lewis called the tyranny of the urgent. Urgent things screaming at us and taking our priorities, and we run around trying to fix it because it's urgent, but it's not the most important. And I saw some people, though, saying, you know what, I'm just going to let all that simmer, and I'm going to tune into God. And I saw him raising them to a higher level, and I saw him take them into a conference room away from the others. The others he loves them, wants to bless them, but there are special called out ones that are tuned to the Lord. I saw him bring them into this conference room and begin to minister to them and teach them. I saw a whiteboard. I saw him showing his strategies and his plans. I saw him revealing, and then I saw him pointing at different ones, saying, you will do this, and you will do that, you will do this, and you will do that. And he was opening eyes to see. I saw their eyes go, whoa, like a revelation of what they would do. You see, because in this next phase, it's not going to look like the last phase. And so no man can tell us, because it's new. It won't look like what we've done before. So we'll only really get it when we hear him and when we say, wait, what was that? Wait, I heard something in heaven. Wait, I had a dream. Wait, I had a vision. Wait, I was in prayer and I don't know what it is. I've got this sense. See, all of us hear differently, but there's people in this room, and I saw your faces turn towards the voice of the Lamb. The voice of the Lamb. Come up higher. Come up higher. And I saw him bringing us into this place where he was telling us some secrets and preparing us. And it reminded me, it wasn't warfare, so I don't want to call it a war room, because it's not. It's not like that. And yet, there is a similarity, because we're in a room and he has got this board and he's writing out detailed strategies. And in some cases, he would even take an individual and say, now your part is this, and he would write that out, fold it up, to give it to them. See, I see him releasing scrolls tonight. They're rolled up with tied with a ribbon or a bow or a cord. And I saw him begin to hand out instructions. In some cases, it's ordination papers. Some people are being released from the former things. I'm going to say it that way because I want to be delicate here. Okay, I'm not going to. There's some things I won't say because, hallelujah, you have to understand there's just some things that aren't appropriate to say in public. But some of you are being released from some situations that are untoward. Some of those situations may be in a church. Some of them may be in families. But God is releasing you to come into something new. And I saw the sun, I saw the light of the sun, S-O-N, shine on it. And there's at least one person in here, but for sure one, that your past has been so hard, you've been so beat up, and this is not old stuff, this is recent. And you came here pretty beat up. And you've done the best you know to stay with God. You've done the best you know to stay walking, but to be honest, you've been like, I don't know if I can do one more step. I'm just doing the best I can, just one step at a time, and you've been pretty beat up by life. And I saw Jesus sweep you up in his arm and hold you close. Say, I am going to walk you through this. I am going to walk you through this season. You are not going through this alone. I'm going to walk you all the way through. I'm going to walk you all the way through. And he said, by the way, I see the end from the beginning. I see the end from the beginning. And I'm anointed to carry you through. And someone in here recently said something like this. Well, he said his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but it sure doesn't feel light. It's been too much for me to carry. You said something like that. And Jesus said, you've taken on so much of the burden on your own soul. But I'm going to lift it off of you and I'm going to put it on my shoulders. Because he says, my shoulders are very big. And he said, and I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you and we're going to walk through this thing and I'm going to teach you. And every step of the way, I'm going to show you and teach you how I did it, because I did the same. There's nothing that you've gone through that I didn't have to go through something similar. There's no temptation, no hardship, no persecution that you've had to go through that I didn't have to go through something very similar. And that's how I can have compassion. That's how I can love you, and that's how I can carry you. And while I'm carrying you, I'm going to love on you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to protect you, but I'm going to bring you all the way through. Kora, kora mesita sondo beki kishiki kishi. Ondoratisi. There's a, I don't know if both people in the marriage are here, but there's a marriage represented here by at least one person, one or two, probably one, that suffered. This marriage has sustained some wounding and some damage, and it's been painful. But you're committed to Jesus and you're doing the best you know. But I saw Jesus pour an anointing. I saw him pour an anointing into the wounding.
And I saw it seemed as though it became nothing. It seemed as though it was washed away. And only Jesus can do that. Right? He makes us new. There's a person here, he said, I'm raising you up as though from the dead. You died to so many things and your life didn't go anything the way you thought it would. And I'm seeing actual grave clothes, like you've been in the grave too long. And I saw Jesus come and extend his hand and say, come forth. Just like he said to Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. He says, I'm raising you up out of there. I'm going to peel the grave clothes off. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to anoint you. And I'm going to clothe you anew. And you're going to have, literally, you're going to have a new life in the spirit. You're going to have a new life where you thought it was over. You thought it was done. And you actually even came here thinking, what's the point? Why bother? There's nothing. I'm done for. Jesus said, oh no, no, no. I'm raising you up. I'm raising you as though from the dead. And he said, I know just how to do it. I'm an expert at resurrection power. I know all about the resurrection. Been there, done that. And I have a glory, he says. People who've been raised from the dead, who've died to something and had to be raised up out of that grave, they have something that ordinary people do not have. It's almost like the fragrance of God comes upon them, and they are able to dwell in the presence of the Lord. They're able to walk in a different way because they have known death. They have known what it is to hope no more, to see no more, to have no more. They know what it is. There's some things only somebody that once was dead can do. Some of you got it. Some of you didn't. There's some things that only certain people can understand because they've been through the death process. And they came to a place where it was over. And they knew it was over. And there was no getting up and there was no more hope. And Jesus came along in his resurrection power and glory and did what no human could do. And he raised them up. And when he raised them up, some of his resurrection power came upon them. And I'll tell you something, once that happens to you, is you're never the same. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. You don't walk the same. You have something that can only be got through resurrection power. There's some of you here, you've gone through some stuff, but I see God breathing life. Breathing life. See, he's not done. God isn't done. Yes, there is going to be a last hurrah. Jesus is going to do some things in the earth that will draw attention to his glory. He's going to make his glory known through the church. He's already doing it, but I see it becoming much more vast, much more common. I'm so thankful for the revivals that are going on. I'm so thankful for some of the awesome places where God is doing these amazing things. But what I'm even more thankful is that what I'm seeing is the vastness of it spreading like whoosh. God is going to do something to flip the mindset of the body of Christ where we stop thinking it's just for that guy and that guy because, you know, they're anointed and they're special. Something's going to happen. Now, we know it in our knower, but we're going to know it in our heart. And somehow there's going to be a flip and people are going to go, why not me? And they're going to begin to do the uncommon deeds that at one time we only relegated to great ministers. Normal people are just going to do it because it's just what Jesus said to do. Normal folks, just regular old folks. Stephen and Philip were the helps committee.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, they were. And everywhere they went, there was revival. There was miracles. Towns, if you read it close. Sometimes towns came to see the miracles. Towns. And they were the helps committee. Colorado. Hallelujah. And these were the guys that waited on the old people. They were in the old folk helps ministry.
Hallelujah.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And power. And God is doing some things.
Hallelujah.
That are like the book of Acts.
Yes.
Looking for
Hallelujah.
You hiding on me.
Hey.
Are you still at work over here?
Yeah, I'm working.
Okay. Oh
Hallelujah.
I heard the phrase family troubles. Some of you had some troubles, families in trouble, you know, where there's been trouble throughout the family, and I saw God's hand come in. It was like He put His hand right in the midst. And I heard that old song, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. I saw His hand come in the midst of the family trouble. And I saw Him bring a peace. I saw Him turn things around, flipping this and that over, putting some things in order. There have been some things out of order, and it happens, you know. It happens in a lot of families, right? It's pretty normal. But I saw God just flipping some things and putting them in order. And He loves to do that. He loves to take disorder and bring order and help us find right order, especially in the family. You know, He loves to do that. He's so good. There's something here. You have a problem, and it's that there's a haunting memory. It is almost like it plagues you. And I believe the enemy has attached to it, and he torments you with this memory. And I saw a Holy Ghost memory wash, a Holy Ghost blood wash, a Holy Ghost memory wash. And God says, I'm releasing you from that memory. Don't go try to get it back. I'm releasing you from it. You'll actually have an experience where you'll say, what was that? Don't go get it back. Because you don't need to have it anymore. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's been someone in here, you've had tormenting night visions. They're not from God. At one time you thought they were from God, but they're not. The enemy has plagued you. He's tormented you. But we're saying in the name of Jesus, we put a stop to any night vision that isn't from the Lord Jesus. And we proclaim your sleep will be sweet. The Lord giveth His beloved rest. We proclaim that you'll have sweet dreams from God. We break the power, hallelujah, of every tormenting night vision. I break the power of any occult practice that was done in your family, even in past times, even in generations. We break every occult work that opened the door to that, and we command it to cease. Kore la benda stiketo shoko. There's someone here. God loves you so much, and you actually have an anointing, but you have a problem of a lack of confidence. You aren't able to assert yourself with the things God would have you say and do or share with people because you don't see yourself in as full a light as God would like. And God said, I have made you so lovely. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I'm bringing you up to a place where you're going to be able to walk in confidence in who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. I'm raising you up to a place where you'll be able to pull up to the table with the rest of the folks because you've always hung back. I don't know if this is related to shame or just you haven't been able to see yourself as being like, you know, as good as the other people or as well-fitted as the other people. But that's a lie from the pit. And the Lord is, thank you. I saw a little root coming out. And the Lord said, that's just a lie you believed. It's not what I say and it's not what I see in you. You know, and I said it earlier, God doesn't make any junk. He says, I put some things in you. This particular word is for everybody. I've put some things in you that are holy, that are true, that are righteous, that are powerful. Whether you know it or not, you have the ability to tap right into heaven and get the love of God for others. You have the ability to tap right into heaven and get compassion for the lost. Compassion for the sick. You have the ability to tap right in heaven, and it's almost like I could see you just turn and say, Lord, I need compassion for that person, and begin to drink. You know, my husband operated in creative miracles. It was like nothing for him. But I learned over the years, I learned some. Before the miracles came, he had this thing that would come that was a compassion. And it wasn't a human compassion. We all have human compassion when we see someone hurting. But he had the compassion of God. When he wanted someone to be healed, it was because he couldn't bear that they were in pain. He had the compassion of God, and I watched it flow through his eyes. And one day I was asking God, I asked God a lot of questions. I said, God, it says faith works by love. That's always been a mystery to me. How does that work? How does faith work by love? I don't get it. And I said, I see him moving this compassion, and boom, I see people healed. How does that work? And I began to watch, and one day there was a great man of God, different man of God. He was on television. This man works in stupendous miracles. He's in the middle of a sermon, and suddenly he says, the compassion of God is here to heal. See, I asked God my question. This guy is in Africa on the other side of the world. Stops a meeting to say the compassion of the Lord is here to heal. And we start watching people in their congregation. Boom, boom, boom. Healing, healing, miracle, miracle. He could feel the compassion of God coming to heal. Because God heals because of compassion. A lot of people want to be used in healing because they want to be used. You might as well try to open a vault door. It's not going to work. A lot of the body of Christ is reading John G. Lake at the speed of light because they think somehow the knowledge will open the gates. It may help, but it's the compassion of God. It's the love of God. And God's saying there's an open heaven. If we will seek him for that, we will receive it. We've asked for the power, but have we asked for his love? We've asked for the healing power, but have we asked for his compassion? Edgar couldn't watch. If we'd drive down the road and someone would be walking down the road and he could tell they were in pain, maybe they were walking with a problem and he would see they were in pain, he would almost, the compassion would just come and he'd immediately start praying for them. And I watched miracles happen. But I know now that it started with compassion. God, thank you, Jesus, wants to release that if we want it. I'm just saying, Jesus, I want it. Fill us with God's compassion, not human compassion, but Father, we want the compassion of God for your people, for the lost, the hurting, the lonely, the hungry, those that have physical issues. We want the compassion of God, the true thing. I feel like I'm supposed to share this. I watched my husband win souls like I was picking fruit off a tree, and it was a mystery to me because I wasn't that good at it. I was like a little envious, actually. And one day I said, God, I know it's his gift, he's an evangelist, but how is it so easy for him? When you ask God, he'll answer you. Well, this time the answer came this way. Usually when I was with Edgar and he's ministering to somebody's salvation, I was standing by him and I'm watching them. And I watched atheists turn around. I watched New Agers turn around. I watched one woman. It took him about 15 to 20 minutes. And she was a young woman and he said, do you believe in God? She said, not hardly. Now, if you read body language, her body was saying, get away from me, you geek. And me, being a sensitive person, I was like, okay, back away. Not Edgar. See, being an evangelist, he was absolutely blind to what anybody thought. Didn't care. He gets a hold of her hand and he starts talking to her. I watched her face go from get away from me to, are you for real? To, really? To, is that possible? So, gee, I wish I could believe you, too. I want what you have. I watched it happen. I saw it. And then at the right moment, he said, would you like to receive Jesus? And these tears start. See, nobody'd ever loved her. Nobody'd ever loved her. He loved her. She came. She was working in a place. She actually walked around the counter, and he gave her a big old grandpa hug while she cried. But here's when I said, God, how is it so easy for him? Here's what happened to me. We were traveling in Maine, and this time, instead of standing by Edgar, I was standing by the person. God arranged that because he was trying to show me the answer to my question. I watched and I saw Edgar. He had these twinkly blue eyes. And during the moment that he was witnessing, it was like time stopped. He didn't care about anything on earth. God was pouring love through his eyes, and all he cared about was their eternal soul. All he cared about was he didn't want them to go to hell. He just couldn't bear the idea because he loved them so that he didn't want their soul in hell. How many people have you ever met or have you ever done it that it's like, well, we're supposed to do it, it's our duty, so I'm going to tell this person, oh, they don't want it, okay, I did my job. Come on, I'm telling the truth. And yet I watched this man win, so I don't think I ever saw anybody say no. He'd get their hold of their hand and he wouldn't let go. He'd say, the hand you're holding was burned off. God grew it back in 1 second in front of 68 witnesses. And they're like, what? And they're like, what? They're looking at his hand. You see, but he had this thing from God. And what God's saying to us tonight is we can have it too. God's trying to do a thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm telling you, if you get her going, she's like a fiery furnace. So I'm trying to... trying to get her going.
I'm delivering words privately and quietly.
Okay. I heard the word upheaval. And God said, don't worry, you're going to see some upheaval in the land. You've seen some already, but you're going to see upheaval. But he says, I want my people to be very solid and staid. You know, like S-T-A-I-D, where your inner man is rested in him. Don't be among those that are thrown to the left and the right. Don't be moved at all. See, if you're centered in him, you won't be moved. But if you're not centered in him, when then stuff happens, you're going to freak. Right? But you can get very good at not being moved by earthly stuff. Here's a way to look at it. When you get, if something happens and you have to go home, hey, you get to be in heaven. You get to be with Jesus the King. Hallelujah, going to live in some sort of mansion. Walk on streets of gold. Fellowship with the King. Worship all the time. You know, so don't worry about the things that you hear. Some people are listening to voices that are very morbidly fascinating. You know, they're morbidly fascinated with telling you how bad it's all going to be. Now, listen to me. I'm not telling you that there aren't going to be some things. Jesus said there would be. But what he wants is a people that isn't moved. Secure in him. Walking in that rest we talked about. Remember yesterday we talked about moving in the rest of God? Where we can walk and we're not moved. If a bomb goes off to our right, sound into our left, there's a fire in front of us, we're just, okay, Lord, what are you doing? Hallelujah. What next? God is looking for a people who are stable and secure and not moved by the things of this world. Amen? That's heavenly focus. And he says you're going to leave some things behind because, see, this weekend, it's an unusual weekend. We didn't, probably, I don't know about Janet and Stephanie, but I don't know that we really thought about the dates that this was going to be. But I think God did. I think God had this plan. And I believe he pulled us apart. You know, there were some people who tried and tried and tried to come, and God didn't let them. And there were some people that didn't think they were going to come, and God said, I want you to be there. Okay. Because it's a God thing. It's an ordained thing. It's an ordained time. And the reason is there's a shift. There's a change. There's a shifting going on, and we're being prepared for the next phase. And so don't worry if you hear stuff, see stuff. Be careful, you know, there's a scripture, be careful what you listen to.
Yes.
Be careful what you watch on television. Be careful who you listen to in terms of preaching. Make sure that your primary source of input is full of the Word of God and faith. See, think about it this way. In Egypt, when all the lights went out, and Egypt was in utter darkness, the Israelites had light. When all the firstborn got killed, the Israelites were fine. Think about it. What God's trying to tell you.
It's going to be okay.
If you get in fear, you're misunderstanding him. You're his. You're his very own. And you're a covenant member. You're a member of a covenant that offers you rights and privileges. You're actually a member of a different kingdom. You know, there's a guy, God reminds me of stuff to speak on, but has anyone here ever heard of a guy named Terry Mize? Anybody ever hear? Oh, you guys have. Terry Mize was a man of God, and I don't know I may get the story a little off, so you guys might need to help me, but a man held him at gunpoint. This man said he was going to kill him. And he said, no, you're not. He said, oh yeah, I've got a gun. I got 5 bullets in this gun. I'm going to kill you. He said, oh no, you're not. He said, I'm called to do some things. I haven't done them yet. You can't kill me. And the guy said, yes, I can. Took him out in a field, shot him 5 times point blank, and the bullets fell to the ground. Did not touch him.
Amen.
See, he knew who he was.
Amen.
And because he knew who he was and whose he was, that guy's bullets did not have power over him. So we need to have not just a knowledge of who we are, but a revelation of it that we walk in daily. So when the enemy comes and says, "Ooh, I'm going to do you bad." Oh, no, you're not. Hallelujah. Guess what? I rule over you. You don't rule over me.
Amen.
We're going to have a discussion and you don't get to have an opinion. So God's trying to raise up a people who understand their authority and dominion.
Amen.
Jesus stripped him clean. Stripped him clean.
Yeah.
But we have to walk in the confidence of what that means. There's certain things we ought not to tolerate anymore. You need to start ruling the devil.
Amen.
And not letting him rule you.
Amen.
Don't let him rule your emotions anymore. Don't let him. He says, "Oh, it's going to be bad." No, it ain't. "Oh, this financial situation, I just don't know how you're going to come through it. I'll be fine." You know, when we don't know what to say at our house, we say, "God will work it out."
Amen.
If you don't know of any other confession, it'll be fine. God will take care of this. Because he always does. If we don't faint. Satan likes to threaten to see whom he may devour. He's like a little roach. And then if you put a big light behind it, it casts this big scary shadow. Woo! And then he likes to scare you. To see if you'll take it. And if you say, "I don't think so."
Amen.
"Behold, it is written, I have authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. Take a walk."
Amen.
See, he knows that kind of talk. He understands it. And here's, years ago, I heard a wise woman say this, and it went in my heart, and I've never been able to forget it. She said this. She said, "The enemy will test you, not until he knows you have the authority, because he already knows you have it, but until he knows you know." And what he'll test you, and when he says, "She knows, I'll go find somebody else, or I'll try a different way." Or like with Jesus, it says he went away for a more opportune time. What does that mean? Hoping to catch him on a weekday. Hoping to catch him when he's maybe not as strong. Never could, of course. But we can build ourselves up until we're so powerful in the knowledge and the revelation of what Jesus has done, where Satan comes in your sleep and begins to threaten you, go, "In the name of Jesus, it is written," and you don't even wake up, you just say it, boom, it's like, you know, at home we talk about racket. You ever see people play racquetball? And the ball is pew, 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 and those people are like, bing, 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 bing. You can get so good at deflecting the enemy's junk. It's just like, bink, bink, bonk, bink, bank, bonk, no, no. And it becomes a habit.
Right.
To he can't get in.
That's right.
Can't.
Amen.
But see, when I was young, I didn't understand these things. And I was a walking bag of mess. Because really? You know, really? That's true. You know, I was receiving his junk. He's asked, listen, when he throws a dart, which is a thought, he's asking your permission to do the thing. And you can say no.
Amen.
Absolutely not. And see, he has to obey you. Think about it. If he had the authority, he'd have killed you a long time ago. If he had the real authority, he wouldn't mess around trying to tempt you. He'd kill you. But he can't. And he knows it. So what he does, who's got the authority in the earth? This is a quiz. We do. Who owns the earth legally? That's right. Psalm 115, 16. The heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. We are supposed to rule the thing, not the enemy. We are supposed to begin to dominate the earth. The way Jesus said it, occupy till I come. That's a military takeover term. Take over. The kingdom of heaven suffers or allows violence. The violent take it by force.
Amen.
We have been too wimpy, and we've put up with stuff that we ought not put up with. And I'm just going to say this to some people here. Your emotions have been your gateway. Ow. Your feelings. Oh, I didn't say it that way, did I? And listen, I can say this, because I was the whiniest. I was so pathetic. I'm ashamed and embarrassed. But early in my Christian walk, I was the biggest weenie you ever saw. Whiny baby, self-pity, boo-hoo, went. God, why don't you fix this? See, I didn't get it. And God kind of lovingly smacked me around a little. And one day said this famous line to me. He said, there's something you need to get. And when you get it, we will go on. And until you get it, we will not go on. Ow. You know what I said? Thank you. You know, because I thought the problem was you. And you're telling me that I can do something about it. First, I thought the problem was the enemy. Then I thought the problem was God. I'm expecting God to come in on a white horse and fix my trouble. 8 long years went by. No horse. So, I did the thing you're not supposed to do, and I got a little mad. Had some words. Okay, now don't do that. I did. And that's when God said that famous line to me, and I began to realize I needed to change some things. God began to show me that if I would get a hold of the system that he laid out, that it's our choice. And our feelings have to be overcome, because if you're ruled by your feelings, you will not be able to believe God when the devil gets in your face. Often, and especially in this room, I'm feeling like there's some people, you've let your emotions rule you, and you say, well, you don't understand what happened to me. I could tell you my story, I'd curl a hair in your head. What I lived through. I lived through something that's so bad, I can't even say it in public most of the time unless God releases me. So bad. So bad. I fell apart. Came unglued. Wallowed in it. It was awful. Lived in it. It felt like living in hell. It was awful. I know about feelings. I know about feelings taking over till you feel like you can't function. Went to church like a zombie. Couldn't get help. They were... You know, one guy actually, after a few years, he said, nobody even knows what to say to you anymore. You know, because we can't seem to help you. We don't know what to do. That's how pathetic I was. Now, did I have a bad situation? You bet. It was bad. But you know what I found out? That the choice was mine. That I could let my emotions be my God, rule my life, and keep me in the pit for years and years. Or I could say, you know what, I'm done with living in this slough of garbage. I'm going to choose to believe what God has said. You see, I want it. You know what? Remember I told you earlier, God said, I've laid out a system in my word, and I'm not changing it for you. Remember that? Okay. My system was this. God loves me. He has compassion on me. I have a revelation of his love. He should come because he feels sorry for me. So I'm going to play the sympathy card. I'm going to cry. I'm going to whine. I'm going to beg. I'm going to plead. And God's going to show up and help me. No, he isn't. Because that's not the system. So you want 8 more years, Holly? Have at it. It's almost like he was going... See, it was pathetic because he already gave me all the answers. The doorway out. Here's a light on it. But you won't take it? Hey, you want to hang around in depression all your life? Hallelujah. Have at it, Holly-O. Now, I'm paraphrasing. He was much nicer than that. But you get the idea. So for those of you that don't understand systems, I'll just give you a really simple example that he gave me. In Colorado, it's probably like Illinois, where you have a postman that comes. And there's a system that if you get a letter that you want outbound, if you put it in your mailbox and put the flag up before he comes, he will take it and he will mail it. That's the system. What I was doing was like this. He's already come and gone. It's 4 in the afternoon and I come out and stand in the driveway and cry and say, that dirty mailman, he didn't take my letter. That's a system. And the post office says, we have a system. We're not changing it for you. You want the letter to go, you have to beat him to the mailbox. That's the system. You can stand in the driveway and cry for another 5 years, but if you want the thing to work, you have to follow the system.
That's good.
So when God said this to me, I began to back up and rethink. And I began to search the scriptures and see that it is shot through with systems. Given it shall be given to you. You know, say to this mountain, are you talking to your mountains? That's a system. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received them and you shall have them. No, that bothers people. Well, they don't see it yet. Well, that's why you don't see it yet.
Some of them missed
it. I'm sorry.
Some of them missed it. Say it again.
Oh. I don't know if I can repeat that. The scripture is, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you have received it and you shall have it. Why? Because when you believe you have received it, you've released faith in the earth. You are invoking God's word to do the thing. Because somebody who owns the earth, we do. How do things get invoked? By somebody saying it, believing it, seeing it done. Somebody somewhere has to pull it from heaven and earth. There's stuff that is yours that's hanging on the edge of heaven. Hanging over the edge. Oh, I'm going to say something really mean.
Okay.
But it's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
There's someone in here, more than one. You've whined and cried, why doesn't God give me this? It's hanging, and I can see it hanging over the very edge of heaven. It's a promise, it belongs to you. But you haven't exerted 1 ounce of faith. And like I used to be, you've whined, you've cried, you've felt sorry for yourself. And see, when God told me the system, that system doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I had a choice. We can stay in this slough of despond, whine and cry and feel sorry for ourselves for more years. But see, I like results.
Come on.
And when I realized that I was the problem, I said, wait a minute, I can revamp my life, I can think a new way. And one day, very close to that time when he was rebuking me, hallelujah, he said this to me, he said, do you believe I am who I say I am? And one thing I've learned is when God asks you a question, don't answer very fast. Because usually he's asking you because you don't really know. You don't really know. He's trying to correct you. So he said, do you believe I am who I say I am? And I, you know, you want to go, sure I do. You're the living God, you know. But I got to thinking about it, and what he was saying was, in my life, he said he loved me, but it sure didn't look like it. He said he would take care of my finances, but it sure didn't look like it. He said there was healing, but it didn't look like that either. He had made many promises, and I'll tell you the honest truth, my life had been systematically obliterated. There wasn't one thing left standing in my life. It was like open season. Everything had been destroyed. Everything in my life. Everything. There was nothing left standing. So it didn't look so much like he loved me or his promises were true. So now in that light, do you believe I am who I say I am? Maybe I don't. Maybe I think I do. Maybe I'm saying I do, but maybe deep down I don't. And so that was the day I made the decision I talked about earlier. I said, I'm making a decision that from this day. If your word says, I was at work and the carpet was green. I said, if your word says that carpet is red and I'm looking at it and it looks green, I'm going to choose to believe that it's red. I'm going to walk like it. I'm going to talk like it. And I'm going to choose in my inner man to believe it. And I watched my life change. I watched my life change. Changed because I went from being a whiny baby looking for God to act out of his compassion to a person of faith. And God began to give me revelation that the church has the ability to change the world through faith, through proclamation. Every scriptural promise that has been made is yours by covenant right. But it requires someone in the earth because he gave the earth to us. He gave it to Adam. Adam sold it out. That's how Satan became prince of this world. God didn't create his world and make his beloved son Adam and then say, here, I'm going to make this dirty, rotten, lying, stinking thief the prince. No, that's not our God. Adam was the intended prince of this world. It says in Genesis that he had authority over all the earth. He blew it. The world fell into darkness. Went under Satan's dominion. Now God's got to figure out how to get the thing back. The only way he can do it is to make himself a man, because only a man has authority in the earth. He had limited himself as God. Limited himself and said, this earth, it's yours. So he couldn't just come in and go poof, poof, because he would have been denying himself, he would have been breaking his own word. And he can't. He can't break his word. So now he's got a situation. His own beloved children are under the thumb of this creep. How's he going to take it back? He has to become a man. Live sinlessly. Take the sins of the whole world. He had to do the whole thing to give it back to us. And what are we doing with it? So what did it mean? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Behold, I give you authority. So you can see why it is so key that we get a clue how to rule. When it talks about us ruling and reigning, I mean, we are going to rule and reign in heaven, I believe, in the thousand-year reign, but I actually believe we're supposed to do some ruling and reigning now. And for some of you that have feel like you've been battling to win something, sometimes you're aware that you're battling the devil. Sometimes you feel like you may be battling God, you know, trying to talk God into doing something. Our fight is not with God. Most of the things that we're asking for, he's already given to us and promised us. Our fight is with the world itself, the devil, and our own flesh. What do I mean by the world? This is going to bother some people, I hope not. But I was asking God about finances one day, I'm driving in the car. You know, because we have people who talk about the, you know, prosperity, and we have people who talk about poverty, you know, poverty is holy and prosperity is not, and you know, there's all this stuff. And I'm one of those people that I listen, but I really go to God and say, what do you say? Tell me your opinion, you know, because I really only want to know what you say. And God said, he said this interesting thing. He said, I own the cattle on a thousand hills, and I have all the oil and gold and treasures. He said, I have it all, and he said, it's a part of the world's resources, and I would love it if my people would begin to pull on those world resources and use it to build a kingdom. How I would love it if my people would begin to understand that system, see? Money, the purpose of money is to build a kingdom. That's the purpose of it. It's really true. That's the purpose of the thing. We've misused it. You know, Miles Monroe used to say, if a purpose of the thing is misunderstood, abuse is inevitable. If we don't understand the purpose of the thing, we'll misuse it. I'm debating how long to go. I don't want to wear you out. But God's trying to change our mind. He's trying to give us a kingdom mindset. Bill Johnson said something interesting. I thought this was noteworthy. He said he loved the stories of the orphans, you know, they sit at the table and they pray and there's no food there. And there's a knock at the door and somebody brings the food after they've prayed. He said, yeah, but I want to be the guy on the other side of the door that has the means to help, that has the means to distribute. There was a man named Colgate. Everybody know who Colgate was? Toothpaste, right? Lived many, many, many years ago, and he was coming across on a boat to land in New York. The captain of the ship was a Christian. He said, Colgate was going to make soap. That's what he was going to make. And the guy on the boat, the captain was a Christian. He said, you know, you have your choice. You could be the best soap maker in New York, or you can just be just another soap maker. And Colgate said, well, what do I do? He said, give God out of your proceeds. Make sure you honor God. Colgate started giving 10%. When God blessed him, he started 20, 30, 40, 50. That was the beginning of Colgate. See, because he understood the system. See, God, don't get scared. We did the offering. But God's trying to raise us up to understand that there's principles in the Word that work if you work them. Years ago, somebody was telling me, and this dear soul was really struggling with finances, so I didn't say anything, you know, because you don't want to make people feel bad, right? She wanted to give 10%, but she was really hurting. And so it was like a real stretch for her to sow, you know? But she was trying because she loved Jesus. But she said this thing to me. She said that she had heard somebody say, don't tithe off what you make, tithe off what you want to make. And I said, So I didn't say this to her, but I had a nice job, and the Lord had blessed me. So I started to increase, okay, my percentage. And at the end of every year, when I do my taxes, I look back at everything that came in, and then I begin to look at what I gave. And if it's not enough, I crank it up and I give some more. I'm just going to share this with you. I worked for a corporation where they started giving me bonuses. I wasn't anybody. I used to joke. I sat on the second floor at the end of the hall where there wasn't even oxygen. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody. There is one award that only one person gets out of about 50,000 people. One person gets it. Comes with a huge bonus. Guess who gets it? And I'm absolutely certain it's because I had made it a point. I'm going to give. I love to give. I absolutely love to give. It's a thing. And what I discovered was I started getting these crazy bonuses. I'm talking about big buck bonuses. Yeah. And so when God said, go off into the, you know, I'm going to have you work for me, I wasn't too thrilled about that concept. Hallelujah. And so I said, well, here's how it's going to be. Is I'm not stopping, so you have to match it. I'm not going backwards, and I don't think you're going to either. So I kept tithing at the same rate as when I had a real job. Oh, yes, I did. And then when it started to look bad, I went to him and said, excuse me. Now, I've since corrected this. But I remember last December, it was looking a little iffy, and I went to the Lord and said, ahem, I believe you told me to work for you. We've made a deal. If I missed it, tell me. I'll correct it. But I believe you said this. I know you're rich. I have continued to give according to this level. And by the way, I'm expecting you to do the same. If you don't want to do that, tell me. I'll back off. But I don't think you do that. A lady calls me and says, my uncle died, left me a big inheritance. I'm sending you a check. Covered everything. Hmm. Can we just say, you know. Yeah. Now, since then, God has corrected me. God, I was a little huffy when I said it, you know. And what he did was he said, I'm not your problem. Remember, I told you to demand it of the world system. Speak to the mountain, tell it. You see? He said, you're telling me. He said, I arranged it, but I'm telling you the better way is you tell it. You tell it to do what you need it to do. Speak to the mountain. What is your mountain? You have a tumor, tell it. I command you to dissolve. Don't come back. You're having trouble breathing. I command you to have enough oxygen, lungs, be full. You start talking to your mountain. Tell it what to do. Tell it what it can't do. You tell it. You run things. Amen? The only thing we don't run, ever, is other people. Because they're God's own too. They're to walk in dominion too. Never control people. Don't ever. Just don't. Love them, but the world, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, everybody okay? Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. No idea in the world what time it is. Do you got anything you want to say? Okay. All right. Anybody got anything they want to say or ask or throw a tomato? Oh, good. Nobody brought tomatoes. That's good. Okay, so, oh, you see those yellow ones? That's where, yes, we are. Okay, hallelujah. I think that's what I have for tonight. And I believe what God's trying to do is raise our sights, take the cap of limitations off, because he wants you to know who you are. I'll just say this. Jesus knew two things. This is what he showed me. This is how he did what he did. This is how he walked through persecution, death, torture, people who hated him, Pharisees, Sanhedrin, powerful people hated his guts, and he knew it. Went right into the temple and said it anyway and didn't care. Didn't care what they thought. Here's how he did it. He knew two things. He knew who he was. He understood his identity. And he knew what his mission was. I'm here to do a thing. I'm not going away until I've done it. I don't care what they think. So that freed him from worrying about whether men liked it or not. It didn't matter if people liked it or not. He was here to do a thing. So what God is saying to us is if we can come to understand, each of us, who we are. Who are you? Who did God make you to be? Ask him. He'll show you. If you could see who you are on the inside, you'd be blown out. I ain't going to make you talk.
Yeah. I agree.
She's got... I'll tell you why. We were doing an immersion similar to this. And I gave a strange word. I said, someone in this room... God is going to let you see who you are on the inside in your spirit man. Now, I knew by faith in the Word what that looked like. I knew that on the inside we looked like Jesus. Inside, your born-again spirit is pure, holy, and righteous. And when you blow it, it's not your spirit man that blows it. I knew that by faith, but I said, somebody's going to see it. This one, and I know her well, and I know she doesn't make stuff up. Okay, some people do. She doesn't. And she came and she told me what happened. So I'm going to let her talk.
So one thing I'll tell you is whenever a word is released, I take it.
Yeah.
And I say, I take that. I don't think it. I say, I take that. Because our voice is powerful. Life and death in the power of tongue. I'm choosing life, so I'm taking every blessing. Now there's more than enough to go around because God is a good God. He gives us everything. So I'm not stealing it from somebody, but I'm taking it straight from the throne.
Amen.
And so if there's a healing or if there's any word, I take. And I'm, you know, I don't wait for people, I'm staying. You know, I'm pretty laid back. But when it comes to the words, I take them all. All of them. Proudly. Because that's what Jesus wants. I don't want 1 ounce of His blood to be wasted. And I don't want to have to stand before Him and say, I didn't know that. I wish I would have done that. So I take every word. And we were in an immersion night. And when that word was released, I didn't know what it meant. But I knew it was a good word. So I took it. And a few days later, I was praying in the chair. And I got caught up in heaven. And what happened was, I was praying specifically about something, not that. I was praying about, I had questions about finances and I was asking the Lord and I was praying into it. And one of the first things He said was, He took me to the mountain. And I was standing next to Him and He said, speak, all this is yours. And when He said that, you want to fall on your face. And then the next vision, I'm still in the chair, I'm still praying, and the next vision, I get caught up and I'm in this room and I get clothed with this new garment and it was too big. And I was like, this is too big. I'm going to have to grow into this. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. And what happened was an angel was talking to me and telling me some things. And I walked down this hallway and I looked into this mirror and I saw who I really was in the spirit. And what I saw was, I couldn't believe what I looked like. It was completely different. I had not a wrinkle.
I received that.
Amen. Amen. I know you're not. When I looked in the mirror, I looked into my eyes and I saw Jesus. I saw such compassion and love and not a flaw in any thinking or any looking or anything. And I was so undone by, I was overcome by the beauty, my beauty. And I don't say that in a prideful way. I mean, it was a holy thing. And when I came out of there, I was so undone, I couldn't speak. I couldn't speak. And when days went on, and I'm like, what about the garment? What's up with that? You know, obviously it's too big. And I also was given new shoes, and they didn't feel too comfortable, and I had to learn how to walk in them, and that's totally prophetic stuff. And so when I looked in that mirror, I could feel this raw energy of love that is needed for such a time as this. And so I release that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'm sure most of you know, but for those of you that don't, she just described you. It's not unique to her. What God was trying to show us is this is who you are on the inside. It is your outside that has issues. It is your outside that sins. This is how, He says, He will make us able to stand faultless before the throne. There's an amazing scripture. Me? Come on, we all stumble in many ways. I quoted it earlier. James said we all stumble in many ways. We look at our outsides and think, I'm not worthy. No, your outside ain't. But if you come to understand, what did I say about Jesus? He knew who he was. He wants you to understand who you are on the inside. And that on your inside, no matter what your outside, listen to me, Hebrews says, he has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That's us. We're being made holy, but in the meantime, he sees us as holy. That is amazing. So he knew who he was, but he also knew his mission. Ask God to show you who you are and what you're here to do. And if you get a hold of it, like Terry Mize got a hold of it, Satan can't take you out, and you won't care what people think. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you, and we love you. Okay, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hallelujah.